Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
I am starting my talk with the fact that the season of nonviolence is very important to me. We are in our final days. Today is day 59. And there's been a word that has been used every day for this time period. And today's word is intervention. So you can carry that the way you want. The song that Patrick sang is so beautiful. I'll leave it at that. But it was during this time of year that I remember asking myself, if not now, when? This was about 1999 at the time, and I had just found this teaching. We were at the Woodruff Art Center, if everybody know where that is. Kennedy Schultz only had about 6 months left, and this new guy that looked new to us, Paul Gagné, was coming in. And he was telling us about the season of nonviolence. And if anybody doesn't know Michael Beckwith, get familiar. And he was going to be speaking. So the following year, I was all involved because he was going to be all involved. And I remember coming to service one Sunday, and I had had an episode, because one of the places in my life that was the most angst, the most tender, the most challenging, I said, if not now, when? And am I going to change that? And that happened during the season of nonviolence. So it's very near and dear to me. I didn't get to listen to Paul's talk this week. I'm sure he may have read this Mother Teresa's recipe for peace. Does anyone know that he didn't do that this time? That is a beautiful saying, because we're supposed to do it ourselves. But something that brought me to this teaching before I even knew that Science of Mind existed was the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I just finished doing a very abbreviated series of that. We had a wonderful time, those that attended. And I think you may have seen some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in my hand. I had to bring them on stage with me. It wasn't in my talk, but I can add it right here, that we did Habit 6 and Habit 7. Habit 6 is synergize. That means all of us here together, we make this community. Well, how I started off that talk was with the fact that I date myself a lot, realizing that everybody's not in my age category. But there was a commercial back in the day where this kid was walking down the street with a jar of peanut butter, and another kid had a candy bar, and they bumped into each other at the corner. And he said, "You got your peanut butter on my chocolate. Well, you got your chocolate on my peanut butter." And guess what came together? Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. So there are some cups back there. I'm going to make sure we join it. But synergy is what it takes for us to get along. But each person had something in their hand. One had chocolate, one had peanut butter. Well, that all starts with where we're going to start today with, if it's up to me to change my life, when am I going to do it? If I'm going to do something greater, when is it going to happen? We keep talking and talking and talking. But I'm going to give you an acronym called AWE. There's a song, a beautiful song. John, what's the name of that group that sings Gratitude and AWE? Don't you love that song? You know that song, AWE? So the word AWE came up in mind for me. So AWE actually means align, write, and execute. So that really falls in alignment with the habits for me. The first 3 habits are all about us. Be proactive, begin with the end in mind, and put first things first. So alignment would be being proactive. What are we going to get proactive about? What are we going to focus our lives on? Emerson wrote this that I thought would be appropriate. So if we don't have any idea how we want our life to go, read somebody's biography to help get us in line. But look at your own childhood and see what was going on. So this is a definition of success. So if you don't know what success looks like for you, let me help you out with this one, because it helped me. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and affection of children, To earn appreciation of honest critics and endure betrayal of false friends. To appreciate beauty, to find the best in others. To leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. To know that even one life has breathed easier because you live is a success. So we want to figure out how do we align ourselves with what is what is success to us. So as we figure that out, it's very important to get in alignment. And if you have a car or if you've ridden in a car with anybody, you know that if a car is out of alignment, it is wobbling all over the road. And it doesn't even feel good. You'd rather get out and walk rather than ride in that wobbly car. So we can get out of alignment too. I'm not going to get rid of my car because it's wobbling. That means I'll be buying a car what every year. So I don't have it like that yet. But you might like that car. You want to keep it. So we have to put ourselves in alignment as well. Now, when we are putting ourselves in alignment, that means we can't be reactive. We have to be proactive. Reactive is leaving the car on the side of the road, right? It's gone. Proactive is probably getting a tow truck, getting it to the place you need to, or it may be drivable, get it there, get it fixed, get it done quick, and not let it keep lingering on out there because we keep adding to the problem if we don't fix it, right? First it's out of alignment, now the tires are messed up, one thing after another. So when I use that analogy, I want to tell you what all really means. Because I didn't even realize that all can mean the opposite side. So if we're getting in alignment, let's make sure we get in alignment with writing and executing. So all means an overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, or fear. It also means to be fearful or dreadful. It also means power to inspire fear or reverence. I prefer the inspirational side. I didn't know you could be awed. I guess you could be awed to death, right? Pass out or just be treated so unfairly. But I want to be on the gratitude and awe side of the song. So it's very important to get in alignment. We have the power to choose our lives every single day. Our power is in our choices. So I remember the day that the first thing I did was make the choice that I was going to have peace that surpasses all understanding. Was my home life peaceful at the moment? No. Is it today? Yes. So I had to have the thought first. I had to get into the alignment of it first. Because you can speak it, but if you're not really speaking it, in your head and in your heart, you're just saying words. Your words want to get in alignment with what you're really feeling and seeing and thinking and have different results. We also talked about in the class, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, what is that? So we can live in alignment with insanity. Looks pretty, we see it on the news all the time, right, in movies, and it might be right in our front door, it might be in our houses, but if we want to get in alignment with peace that surpasses all understanding, we want to be proactive, we want to align. I'm going to give you another section from a reading that I think changed my life and helped me get in alignment, and then we'll move into writing, which gets to our props. Accepting responsibility. When we blame and accuse others, we are reactive. We focus on the weakness of other people and get so involved in the disturbing behavior that we forfeit our power to think, feel, and act in our own best interest. On the other hand, by exercising proactivity, we don't let others' weaknesses drive our decision. In spite of others' actions, dispositions, we make choices according to our values, our purpose, and our mission. So what's your mission? I have one. I'll share with you. You can take it for yourself. It's easy. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Get in alignment with making every single day count. I don't know whether it's because I'm a grandmother now, but the clock feels like it's ticking faster. I am moving into the position where I used to have a grandmother. Now I'm the grandmother. How did that happen? So if I'm not going to get in alignment now, when? So I'm in alignment, and I see things happening for me, and I'm going to put it out there that I love to dance. Every now and then when you're here, I have a little music playing. I'm shaking, you know, gyrating just a little bit, moving around. Well, there's an idea that I have, and every time I do the seven habits, it activates something in me. You know, when you teach, you learn. I inspire those that participate to share the information as much as possible because you learn. And when I'm teaching, I'm learning. I'm really facilitating information. And every time I facilitate something, something gets charged up in me. So I have this idea that I'm aligning myself more with, and I thought I was going to call it Bell Bottoms Reloaded because I used to love bell bottoms. But my daughter is getting involved with me. She was supposed to be here this morning. I didn't get reactive because she was calling saying she wasn't going to make it. She slept in, voice all groggy. And I said, okay. I had company, so that helped me behave better. It helped me to be more proactive. But she said, Mommy, you know, I don't know about that name. And she said that a while ago. So I have had people transitioning out of my life. Like I said, I've been moving in. And my family members called me Niecy growing up. My middle name is Denise, so people would call me Niecy. So every time I would go to some family gathering, and just recent was my aunt, my mother's next oldest sister, passed, and everybody was calling me Niecy. I came back. I said, you know what? Maybe it could be Niecy's Bistro. Then I would hear Niecy, because I'm saying the people are dying out. They used to call me Niecy. I don't hear that anymore. I hear Angela, although Jerry called me Reverend. Wow, I kind of like that. We might go with that going forward. But I like the Niecy. It feels endearing to me. I thought I had shared this with my daughter already. I want her to do some leg work, and it's been activated more because of the seven habits and some things I can tie it on to. Happy Academy is another idea that I have out there. So these ideas, when are they going to happen? If not now, when? Well, I call my daughter, and she gets on it, and she starts talking, and she said, well, I still don't like the name. So she called me back, Mommy, what about Niecy's Bar and Bistro or something? I said, didn't I say that to you? She said, no, you didn't. So I said, I don't like the bar part, but we can call it Bistro. So she thought of that on her own without me having that conversation with her, but I had the conversation about not losing my Niecy identity, and now we may make a name for it. Somewhere, somehow, somewhere. So I like being in alignment. That tells me I'm in alignment with something that may be happening in my life in a new avenue. So that's one area. I want us to get in alignment with what's important to us. We cannot blame the economy. We can't blame our bosses. We can't blame our spouses, our kids, anyone. It's convenient. Very convenient. And when I believed in the devil, that was the biggest escape. But that does not exist for me anymore. So the responsibility is for me to get in alignment with what I want to occur. Well, one of the things that I learned, even with the seven habits and even before, because I think we've always written things down in our daily lives, our list of things to do, our tasks to do. Taxes are coming up. I'm still working on those. You know, those that have to pay take their time, don't they? Drag our feet. Those that get some money back, they write on it. So I have to pay, obviously. So I was writing things down for that. So the next letter in awe is write. I use a calendar. I brought this up here. I tried to go electronic, but I am diligently working my way to find me another planner because I found when I wrote things down, they seemed to happen a little bit faster for me. It activated something in a way that putting in my iPad or in my phone or in my electronic calendar at work. It happens. It holds that space sacred, but something about writing it down made it happen better. So I'm going back to writing it down. But I wanted to share the fact that I carry a journal all the time and write ideas down. But then it made me think about all the journals that I had, and that's what the props are. These are over the last 10 years of my life. And those that can't see it, I'm going to slide it up just a little bit so people on the radio are listening. And they started to come from all over the world, actually. Now, I had the experience of going to see the Constitution of the United States as an adult, like a year ago. I know a lot of field trips go. But when I went, this was the smallest journal that I have ever gotten. But it's got the Constitution, part of the Constitution on the front of it. So it's amazing when we start to write things down what will happen. I'm going to share this one with you. I was in St. Thomas at the time, so my travels had begun in a great way. But I was with my mom. I would take my mom, who I still have in my life, on trips with me. So I'm going to read this little bit. Mom and I talked about a great deal of things, which helped me to discover more about how I think and feel about life. We had a wonderful mother-daughter time, which pleases Daddy. The flight has a movie on it, so I will check it out. As I close out this writing, this cover says Paris on the journal, on its way to me in the form of an experience. Thank you, God. So evidently, I'm on the plane when I write this. Paris is on the front. I actually didn't pick this journal up again until October 14th and 13th. And the year that I went to Paris was January 2012. So before I picked this journal up again, I had declared in 06 that I was going. I think it's 06. Yep, this was December 23rd, 2006 at 4:50 p.m. And in January 2012, Paris is a memory. I've been there, done that. So, and it's an amazing thing that we can write things down. Some things happen faster than others. Some things happen when you write it down in your head and in your heart. You don't necessarily have to write it in a book. But writing it down seems to have power that surpasses all understanding. Sometimes it transcends to others. I decided that I wanted to give journals away so people would have the opportunity to start writing for themselves if there's something they never did. So I saw this journal, and I decided to get two and give it to someone else. That person loved that journal so much, and they talked about it so much. Not soon after that, I was visiting a friend, and they had extra poster pictures. And this is the one that they gave me. This was before the journal. So it's amazing how life will just show up in so many different kinds of ways. Now, these are the tangible ones that I can show you, but they become very subtle. You think of someone and the phone rings. You've written that down in your head and your heart in some way, and there it is. It manifests itself. Now, everything doesn't happen as quickly or as easily, right? You know, I've said I wanted $1 million. I don't see $1 million in my account today. I think I live $1 million life, though. So that started to show up in a whole different kind of way. You think of something, you align yourself with it, and then you write it down. The next part of that is actually executing it, making sure it happens. Well, I don't know. Those who really know me know I love my parents a lot, and I'm fortunate enough to be at 55 and still have my mother and father. It's an amazing thing, and they're very healthy. I saw them not long ago. They passed through Atlanta from Columbus, headed back to South Carolina, and we had lunch together. It's just an amazing thing. So I knew I had amazing parents a long time ago, and there's this young man who's in the presidency right now named Barack Obama. And they were just giving him all this credit and all this joy about how he loves his wife and his children. And I thought that was cool, but I'm like, my daddy did that way back when I was born. That is not a new thing. So the militant that I can be from time to time in January of 2009, I decided I was going to write an article, Barack Has Nothing on My Dad. And I actually put it in the paper for his birthday, March 25th, 2009. The coincidence that happened there, we had a loss of a loved one, so I ended up having to go home and be in the presence of the people in my small town. And everybody came to me about that article, and the services was on my father's birthday. Because that's the day that I was putting the article in the paper for him in honor of him. So I will just read a little bit of that because it reads to our last to execute. But my dad, the Cosby Show was on, and now we had this presidency that was really into his family and loving them. But before that was my father. He became a sergeant major in the Army. He was at the highest rank that he could, and I'm sure it wasn't easy for him. It was segregation going on. I was one of the first blacks in my class in the sixth grade, in the first grade. But I didn't remember any retaliatory behavior towards me or anything. And I give credit to my parents sitting around the table, my dad talking about Westerns and auto mechanics. He didn't talk about racism. He didn't talk about things that separated us. If anything, it was things that brought us together. I watch Westerns today. Every time Silverado comes on, I'm calling my dad. And we actually have the DVD. But if it comes on TV, we're watching it anyway. Or Cars. I brought up the alignment, right? It's all because of Daddy that I know about Cars. So what you put yourself in alignment with, you're going to draw to you and write about what you want to come about. Daddy wrote stuff down. He became a mechanic for just the pleasure of doing it, but people would line up in our yard and wouldn't go to Pep Boys. I don't even know if Pep Boys existed back then, but they would want to come to my dad. The thing that led to closure for this, which leads us to the last one, is I know everybody doesn't have the same kind of parents that I do. They may not get positive influence. They may get negative influence, but I was fortunate enough to get positive. If you don't have a person that inspires you to greatness, look for someone who will. This action can take your life to new levels. I write this article for two reasons. First, to mainly honor my dad. And secondly, to encourage faith. A strong attribute unconsciously learned as a child, thanks to my dad, is a clear demonstration of how faith works abundantly. Consciously, the metaphysical philosophy, the science of mind, takes the understanding of implementing faith into a new way of life, into new heights. And I can't tell you enough to put faith in action. Fear can dominate our lives, or faith can dominate our lives. And that's what the E is for, is to execute by faith. Because we may not see it. It may not be obvious to us. We may even doubt it in some way. But it's very important for us to know how to put first things first. I think writing it down is beginning with the end in mind. It is the mental equivalent. It is what treatment is made of. But that, once we put that in motion, it's up to us to have the faith to back it up and know it can be true and allow it to take place in our lives and not get in the way of it. The Power Decision is a class that's coming up. I think that book was sequential to this topic for me. I came to this teaching because Kennedy said on the radio, if you have a greater idea, and he happened to fill in the blank with God, but you can fill in that blank with anything you want to fill that blank in with. I will do it when? Now. We're not going to wait to date. We're not going to wait to travel. If we want to marry, we're not going to wait to marry. We're not going to wait to write a book. We're not going to wait to open Niecy's Bistro. We're going to make it happen. It's up to us to set ourselves free, to make choices. I think executing creates a life of bliss. Don't you love that word? I also looked that up. I'm good for looking it up because I'll have an idea of what I think a word is, and then it'll be all wrong because I've twisted it over the years. You know, PSATs helped us get ready for what the word should mean. And then as life happened, we started to change it into what we mean. But it's really opening up our paradigms to let us know what can be instead of what we smallly put our limited thinking on it should be. It can be greater than we could ever think. So the word bliss can mean ecstasy, happiness, joy, paradise, gladness, cool, rapture. They talk about rapture in the hereafter. It's right here, right now, just as you say. Now, the opposite of that, because we can live there, and I want us to grab hold of these other words to pull us out, is misery, sadness, unhappiness, woe, sorrow, and grief, even upset. So if you find yourself upset, get to the A and the R. Get in alignment. Do you want to stay upset? Be honest. Some like it. They like that feeling. They've gotten used to it, maybe, is why they like it. It feels a little nuts in my stomach. I don't feel very well, even if I want to cross the line. You know, sometimes it feels good to cross the line. But I want to get back on this side of the line of forgiveness, because forgiveness gives you faith. We can't hold on to any grudges, anything we think someone has done to us. Got to get back in alignment, either in alignment with what they've done to you or what you plan to do to yourself. Life is going to happen. Things are going to occur that we don't like or think we invited into our lives, and that may be true. But I know that we can align ourselves, even if it's shown up, take it for a lesson. It doesn't have to keep showing up. Have the faith to know, and the science of the mind reads, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, a mental attitude so inwardly embodied that the mind can no longer deny it. Belief in the presence of the invisible principle and law, and I put in parentheses, gravity comes to mind here, which directly and specifically responds to us. So if we know how to use gravity, we know how to use God. It's up to us to get in alignment, write it out so it can come true in full-bodied life, letting you know you're, these are just little validations. You know, you can get some really big ones. The job you love, the relationship that you've always dreamed about, just being happy every single day. And when life brings something that's not so happy, you've got that happy charged up so much that it pulls you right back into your happy. You don't stay unhappy very long. But unhappiness helps us remind ourselves what happiness truly is and what joy is. So it's very important for us to accept and expedite forgiveness. Those of you that know that I like travel, I went to Chicago for the first time, and everybody's like, oh, you're going to move to Chicago? Answer is no. It's too cold. We got blasted this winter, so I'm finding out that even though I discovered Chicago, wrote it into my life, demonstrated it three times within 3 months, I'm not living there. I love Atlanta. I like to put the top down. I had the top down just a few days ago. I think it's still freezing up there. I had a trip to New York. The trees are still bare. There's still snow on the ground, but it's still beautiful. But I don't have to live there. I can fly in, fly out. So that reminded me, if I'm ever moving, it's not going to be where it snows. But I know that I love the way snow looks, and I want life to happen right here, right now. So Chicago happened now. It wasn't when. I want you to get into the habit of living life full body. Live life in gratitude and awe. Alignment, you write it and make it happen, and then you execute faith so it will have the power that it needs to do so. And if that is not what your life is, I say it is. Live in the present moment. Live your dream. That's the truth in my life. It's the truth in yours. And so it is. And with that said, we are going to go into what this awe is all about. I believe the special gift that I ever got from this teaching is learning how to pray. and our opportunity to bring ourselves center, take what works for you, leave the rest, but breathe in and out. That's a prayer by itself, letting you know that this air comes from that which is greater than we are. And as we breathe in and out and take in this substance of being in awe, we are in awe of the one power that is absolute, that is ever present everywhere in all things at all times. And the awe of that is that we are of that. We can be greater just because we come from unlimited greatness. The law works for all of us at the level of our understanding, and this is our opportunity to ever increase our understanding, which ever increase the unfolding of life in awe. This opportunity to let go of any fears, any doubts, anything that we see out there that the planet has recognized as less, we don't. We know it may exist in some form, but we don't let it take over and embody our lives. We are embodied by the faith and the peace that surpasses all understanding, because once we have that, we have all that we ever need. We live a life of gratitude, because the more that we give thanks in things, the more we have to be thankful for. I give thanks now. I give thanks in every moment that I'm awake, until I go to bed. And living in this gratitude, I live a life of awe. And you live a life of awe. And we say, wow, every day as life unfolds, beautifully. We release this to that which is greater, that grants it perfectly. All we have to do is summon. And we say together, and so it is.